This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. This is your host, Steve Kidd. I work together with my wife, Kathy, and we help you thrive. You can find us at wehelpyouthrive.com or join us at bestsellersguild.com, because that's what we're here to do, is to help you thrive in your life and in your business. And we love helping people thrive. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so grateful for every person that takes the time to come in and really join with us and really allow us some time to be able to share with you some amazing best-selling authors, some world changers, some thought leaders, people that are going to make a difference in your life. And today is no different. I love the topic we're going to talk about today because I love teaching on the difference between a response and a reaction, learning how to respond rather than react. Now, for some of you, you may be asking, well, what's the difference? The significant difference between a response versus a reaction is thought, engaging your brain. How many times have you reacted? Something's happened, you boom, immediately say something, and then you walk away and you're like, oh man, I wish I hadn't done that. Or I wish I would have. You know, I mean, it can go either way. Sometimes there are things that need to be said. Other times there are things that are said that really shouldn't have been said. Both of those are reactions. A response would be to stop for a beat, for a second, for 10 seconds, whatever amount of time it takes you to be able to move from the instant words that want to pop out of your mouth, the instant feelings that you have or actions that you take, and take a moment and respond rather than react. Think to yourself, how can I be the best version of myself in this situation? We're all faced with situations that we cannot control. So to quote a good old friend of mine, he used to always say, control what you can and don't worry about what you can't control. And that is so true when it comes to our interactions with people. You can't control what they say or what they say back after what you say. You can't control what they do, but what you can control is yourself. You have control over yourself to respond rather than to react. Now, life gives us some real challenges for that. Just because I can state it clearly does not mean, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking like, and I always do this, absolutely. I react to things to this day, even though I've been teaching this for about 30 years now. I still have times when I react rather than respond. But the goal in our lives is to learn how to be the best version of ourselves that we can be. And we do that by being true to ourselves. And in being true to ourselves, we will respond to a situation rather than allowing that situation to control us and cause us to react in a way that, honestly, you and I both know afterwards you're going to regret that you lived that way. Now, sometimes we don't even know that we are reactionary. We have certain actions that we take on a regular basis that are reactions to things that have happened in our past, in our childhood. And we, as we become more aware, can learn how to overcome those kind of things and become the best version of ourselves. That's what I want for every single one of you, is to learn how to be the best you can be. And so throughout the entirety of this episode, as I present to you several really amazing best-selling authors, I want you to think through the thread of all of it, in spite of the circumstance, how can I learn how to respond rather than react? Men in this world have a very different perspective on how life should be. not because they really intend to, but because there are a lot of messages as men that we were raised with that do not serve us. And often we struggle against the person we were told to be the man that we want to be, the person that can really lead our businesses, our families, all of the people that are important in our lives. I love this book that I'm going to present to you. It's by my good friend Rodney Lawson. Rodney's book is called Broken, Inspired, and Driven. And you guys are just going to be amazed at the journey that Rodney's going to take you through in this book. Rodney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Steve.
So Rodney, give us just a little bit idea of the journey that you've been on from, your older teenage years to being the man that you are today.
Wow, that's an excellent question, Steve. My story is one of many broken situations that eventually turned to being inspired. But you see, inspiration without any action is fruitless. So at that moment, I became driven to do something about it. So if I were to go back and talk about my story, I've been extremely successful in the corporate world, in the educational field. I accomplished many things that most of the individuals in my family have not been able to, like graduating from college with honors, receiving my MBA in international business. I started in the corporate world as early as 18. By 19 and a half, I was promoted into management. In fact, I was the only person promoted into management, going from a part-time position straight to full-time. By the age of 21, I had earned more money annually in income than my parents have ever received in combined income. By the age of 26, I was over a six-figure salary. But see, that wasn't my whole story. What people don't know is that what drove me to be successful in the corporate world was growing up in a household that helped to define my values. And those values were defined by living in a household with a father who was a functioning alcoholic with an abusive personality. He was an avid gambler. But the worst part about it was his demeaning way of communicating with my siblings, my mom, and myself. And as I grew up, I tried so hard to refrain from being like him that it drove me to be successful in whatever I did, whether it was playing sports, whether it was in school educationally, or whether it was excelling in the corporate world. It took me to a place where, if I could just share some of the emotional stories, there's a time when, you know, I got selected to play in the All-Star game in Little League, and there were six of us that were going to travel from Buffalo, New York to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania and play against a popular Little League team called the Little Quakers. And I'll never forget listening to my mom and dad have an argument because the fee was something like $50 for us to travel there for a couple of days and play in this game. And I remember my dad just arguing with my mom and just, you know, he didn't want to give her the $50 for me to go. And I remember him saying something, and I won't use the accurate language. I'll keep it clean. But he just said something like, well, what if he doesn't amount to blank? And I heard that conversation, and I can't tell you, Steve, the hurt that it rang through me. And because of that situation, I was determined, even more determined, to be successful in football. My high school career, my senior year, we won the championship. I relocated to Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, lived with my aunt and uncle who legally adopted me. And we won the championship at Beaver Falls Senior High School. And that's the first time Beaver Falls has won the WPIL championship since Joe Namath played at that school in 1960.
Wow.
And I was a starting fullback on that team. I got elected to play in the Pennsylvania, Ohio All-Star football game. So I had a pretty successful football career, but it was circled around having this rage inside of me, which attributed to me playing the game so dominantly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it took me to a place that was just that drove me to be successful. So because of all of that and what I have gone through since then, my mission now is twofold. It's one, to heal myself, and two, to work with broken men and help them heal themselves through listening to my story.
And we all really appreciate it, regardless of where on that, path we are in life. We really appreciate how gut level honest you are, especially in this book. You really share some deep things that a lot of times as men, we're not encouraged to share. You know, you're supposed to keep those things real, real close, you know? And
yes.
I appreciate that you just kind of put it all out there on Front Street. You're like, hey, this is what I've been through. Not all of it's pretty, but I'm growing from that place to someplace better.
Well, there was a maturation period with that as well, Steve. I wasn't always that way. I was a type of person that was very, very always very confident in my abilities. I got that from my dad as well. So all of it wasn't bad. But at the same time, it took me, you know, years to develop that transparency. And it came through understanding a simple philosophy, and that is, I hear people say all the time that they don't care what anyone thinks about them. And I used to be an individual to say that until I really took a couple steps back and looked at what I do care about. I care about what people think who have values that are like mine. So if someone has values like mine, then it forces me, if they have a disagreement with me, it forces me to take a couple steps back and relook at what I just did or what I just said or what direction I'm going in. Because I value their opinion so much, because their values are like mine. But if someone doesn't have values like mine, then I could care less what they think. You know, I'm a very grounded, very value-driven person. So let's say someone has a personality where they think it's okay to take things from people that doesn't belong to them. Well, I could care less what that person thinks about me because their values are not like mine. So that's just an example. So what happened was I matured into a position where I realized that the people that love me and the people that care for me and the people that have values like mine, they won't judge me for my shortcomings. So why not be transparent? Why not share with them? Why not share with everyone? Because I know at the end of the day, those folks who have values like mine, they're going to love me no matter what. And that's why I put it all out there.
Well, and that's what I appreciate about the journey you've been through, is that so often we tend to look at the opinions of everybody. And there's one of two sides that we end up with that. Either we just don't take anybody's opinion, or we take everybody's opinion, and we shape ourselves based on everybody else rather than stopping for a minute and saying, hey, what's the best me that I can be, and then exactly. Find respected people that we can also allow to pour in our lives and have them help, you know, knock off some of those rough edges that we all have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
The thing I love most about both your book as well as the ministry that you've got is the fact that you really are helping men have a safe place to be able to say, you know what? I don't necessarily wake up every day just shouting hallelujah, joyously grateful. Sometimes I'm just angry. And that's a really hard one, especially as men, to really share with the world, because, you know, anger is supposed to just be a bad emotion. We're not supposed to say anything about it.
That's true. Very true. But the unfortunate part about that is that when we keep it in, it just bottles up until it explodes. And sometimes, you know, wives will see it in their husbands. Sometimes it'll come out at the office. Sometimes it'll come out on the kids. There are many different facets where that anger will show its ugly head, unfortunately. So I think that by being open and being transparent and sharing how you're feeling and why, it helps to ease a lot of that pain. I can tell you that it's been a very, very productive place for me to talk about, you know, my shortcomings and talk about what happened in my childhood years and talk about some of the things that I faced in the corporate world that were difficult at times, where most people would have probably said, well, forget this, you know, I'm going to move on, or I'm going to go someplace else, or I'm going to do something else, where I stuck it out because I felt like the impact that I was having was greater than just me. Whereas I didn't want other people to see that that's what you do as a leader when you face a tough situation.
So if you're going to give one piece of advice, and there's a ton of it in the book, you guys got to get Broken, Inspired, and Driven by Rodney Lawson. But Rodney, just as we're kind of closing up here, if you're going to give a person just one piece of advice, what would be the thing that you would say to them in like the line at a grocery store or something if they ask you for help?
Well, there's many things that I could probably say, but if I had to narrow it down and I was talking to someone who just felt that anger inside, and they opened up and shared with me, there's something that I started practicing after I realized that I had a huge piece of brokenness, a part of me that wasn't discovered until just this year. And when that happened, I realized where my anger had come from, you know, through my childhood years. And I realized that there were three trigger points: when I'm disrespected, number one, number two, when my values are questioned, and number three, when I'm challenged. So those are three emotional trigger points for me. So what I had to do is I had to learn to do, you know, three things. And I call it PRT. The first thing is pause. Right? Pause whenever that emotional trigger point happens. The second thing is to react, but react with grace and candor. And then the third thing is take responsibility for whatever it is that I've done. So if I respond in a positive way with grace and candor, then my action that I'm going to take is I'm going to pat myself on the back. But if I didn't respond in a positive way with grace and candor, then I need to beat myself up a little bit. And since I started practicing that, it's helped out a lot in my personal life when it comes to, you know, how I react to certain situations.
Broken,
so
Inspired.
If I had to share something, it would be that. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. The book is called Broken, Inspired, and Driven. It's by Rodney Lawson. It's available now on Amazon. Our next best-selling author, Rodney, we appreciate so much all that you've done. We should have a whole nother show where we just talk all about the revival that broke out at Speak and Write. But for people that weren't there, just make them feel bad. So we'll do that another time. But I really do encourage everybody, go to Amazon, get Broken, Inspired, and Driven. And Rodney, I know you have a website for it too. What is your web address?
Yes. The web address is brokeninspireddriven.com. Just like the book is pronounced, brokeninspireddriven.com.
So yeah, you can go to brokeninspireddriven.com. You can even pre-order autographed copies of it right now. So I really, really hope that you will go out, get Broken, Inspired, Driven. If you're a lady listening, give it to the man in your life. He wants to do the best he can for you. Sometimes it's just a matter of having the skills to be able to do it. Rodney, thanks so much for spending some time here with us today.
Thank you, Steve. It was my pleasure.
There are so many nuggets in there. We could spend the next 2 to 3 hours just going through all the awesome things that Rodney said in that interview, as well as more nuggets of truth in his book. I really do encourage you to get Rodney's amazing book, but I also want you to stop and think for a second. Did you hear what he was saying there as his tip at the end? He's learning how to be able to take the time to, in the end, what he's basically saying is to respond rather than react to the situations so that he can be the best version of himself that he can be. And in the end, that's why we want to learn how to respond, is because we want to be the best us we can be. I encourage all of you during this commercial break to think about ways that you could respond rather than react. And we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. We are bringing to you some amazing best-selling authors today that are helping us learn how to respond in life rather than react. Now, in the first segment, Rodney shared with us some amazing things that he's learned as he's grown to be more and more the impactful, empowered man that he wants to be in this world, about how to make the choice, take the time, make the decision to respond rather than to react, and how you can actually even have steps to be able to move from whatever background you've had to somebody who really, truly has excellence in that area of their life. There are things that come to us from our childhood, but there are also some things that are just so out of our control. They are the things in life that we need to prepare for, because sometimes the biggest element of learning to be the best version of ourselves and then also learning how to properly respond in very difficult situations is to have a plan and preparation in place. In all of our lives, there is a few things that are for certain. And one of those is that our life is going to come to an end. Now, that sounds really morbid of a way to start off an interview. But the truth of the matter is that everything in life happens for a reason. But there's also a way to do them with grace and ease. And one of those, you know, Kathy and I have talked many times about the stuff we've went through with her mom's passing and things like that. And the more prepared you can be, the better, when you do come into those incidences that you can't control, but that are going to happen. There's such a great resource out there, and I'm so excited to have this best-selling author talk to us. Leslie Cottrell Simmons, wrote a book called I Want You to Know. And it is, I'm serious, people, this is the definitive guide to being prepared for those things in life that we wish we could just avoid. Leslie, thanks for being here with us today.
Steve, it is my absolute pleasure to be here. And I loved your introduction. And it's true. It's the one thing that we don't want to talk about. And ironically, it is the one thing that we are all going to experience.
Well, and, you know, the thing that became the most apparent for Kathy and I, both when her mom's husband passed and then her mom as well, was the fact that the only thing you really can control in that situation is having as much of the details prepared as is possible.
That is so true. And that was one of the reasons that I really was compelled to write this book. It started out as a workbook, and I wanted to use it as a resource with clients. And after I was finished with that, I realized that that was only a little part of what was really meant to be in this book. And I wanted to share personal stories like Kathy's with people that really, really illustrates to us how you can be benefited when there have been plans put in place and how it's just such a different world when there are no plans in place. And it is at that time of serious illness or serious injury or the end of life when, as the caregivers or the loved ones, we are at our most raw, our most vulnerable, our, of course, our most emotional. And suddenly we're just catapulted into making these huge life decisions. And we're our least ready at that point to make those decisions. So when it's been put in place, when we know what our loved ones want, it then puts us in a position to experience the depth of what's really happening, our grief, our joy, our celebration, and not to be sidetracked by all the minutiae of these very large decisions.
Well, and one of the things I appreciate most about your book is, it's very sensitive. You know, it understands up front that, hey, this is something that isn't fun to talk about. It's not like, you know, tomorrow everybody's going to get together and all start, you know, having joyous parties about this particular subject, but you handle it so sensitively. And the second thing is it really is devised in a way that you can have what may be the most difficult conversation with your parent, your spouse, you know, as a parent with your child. I really appreciate that about the book.
Well, I wanted to make it as approachable as possible, and I wanted to make it as non-intimidating as possible. So it's sort of designed to take you from the really easy things like just gathering pertinent information, and then we step, you know, a little bit closer to the more difficult conversations. And then, of course, interspersed are the stories that I was just speaking of. And I think we all appreciate that. I'm also a life cycle celebrant, and literally before our conversation today, I'm putting the final touches on a celebration of life that I'm doing on Saturday. And I was thinking about the importance of respecting the sensitive nature of a celebration of life. And one of the ways that we do that is that you speak for a while, and then you have someone else come up and share a personal story of that person. And you have a musical interlude. And that's all to sort of give us the chance to get our grounding again. And that's really the premise behind the book, to make it approachable, make it easy. And yet you get to read a story now and then that helps you step out of your own self a little bit and hopefully make that journey a little bit less overwhelming as you go through the pages of the book.
I really appreciate the book. It's called I Want You to Know by Leslie Cottrell Simmons. And she's just explaining to us a little bit of some of the things. It's nice to have an expert, especially in the really difficult situations in life. You know, everybody could probably figure out how to boil water without anybody teaching them how to do that. But there are some things that we just really need somebody who knows their stuff to help us through it. And this book is one of those things that I highly recommend to everybody.
Those are great words and touch my heart, Steve. Thank you. Thank you so much. And it was my desire to have a document that literally encompassed everything. I had looked for forms and could find some that were great, but they were just about one little piece, like, you know, whatever, you know, how to plan a funeral, let's say. But I couldn't find anything that would take you all the way through. And that's what we've tried to do here. There isn't anything missing, I hope. I don't think there is. You know, we talk about everything from what to plan for your passing in terms of your pets, to starting to think about what you would want for yourself in the case of a serious illness. We go through the whole gamut of life's real events.
One of the questions I was going to ask you is, it's such a difficult topic, and I know you deal with it every day. How do you help a person go from that place of what is often very extreme resistance to being able to accept that this is something they really should do?
That is a great question. And one of the things that I'm already finding out with the publication of this book is that people are using it already as a way to open the door to that conversation. You know, it is the hardest thing in the world, even if you have a great relationship, to sit down with your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, and start to ask these questions. I mean, it's just almost more than you can bear to think about doing. And the beauty of this book is, I think my book is the buffer, right? You become the third party. You're just presenting it. And I've had several people say, gosh, you know, I downloaded your book and started reading it to, you know, whoever it was, as a way of saying, here's some things I've never thought about before. And it's, you know, sparked a lot of thoughts in my mind. Do you mind if I start reading it to you? And it already, in just the few days that we have since we've been published, has started to open some of those doors. So I really hope that people utilize the book that way. And there are also things that you can use in terms of life events. You know, the passing of a celebrity, let's say, or especially if it was a celebrity that the person that you're trying to get to talk to knew. And, you know, use those types of things as a way to open up the conversation. Oh, my gosh, so-and-so's passing really got me thinking about such-and-such. Have you ever thought about that? And sometimes that's all it takes. And then most of the time you have to do it in baby steps, which, again, I think the book helps you do that, the way it's divided up. You know, gosh, Dad, would you consider spending 10 minutes with me today while we read this chapter and go through it together? So it's not just hitting somebody with the huge questions of life all at once.
Mm. Well, one of the things that I found with my own parents and a couple other really special people in my life that are at that age where you got to start considering those kind of things is their stories. You know, for me, that's a great place to start, because I want my children and my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, to be able to hear my father preach. You know, but if those things don't get recorded, they don't get documented, they'll never know him like I do. And sometimes I've found that that's the easiest way to start into that conversation, is just simply saying, hey, you know, that song you always sing, that story you always tell, could we record that so that I've got it forever?
That's so powerful. And I recommend that with clients all the time. As soon as you're able to begin to record those stories, it's so beautiful in that case to be able to hear it in his voice, you know, that your children and their children would cherish that absolutely forever. And these are things that when they're gone, they're gone. And it is a great avenue to begin to start to think about other things, but it is just absolutely priceless to be able to get these stories down on paper and to get them recorded. Absolutely.
Mm. Now, this is a full workbook that'll help you walk through that whole process. And this is a horrible, hard question to ask you, Leslie, but picking out just one thing out of the book, what is a one tip that you can give people that they could start using today?
I think the one tip is the one thing that may get the most resistance, but I highly recommend wherever you are, you know, as if you're in your 20s even, is to go to your state's website, which they are all pretty much in the book, and download the forms about healthcare proxies. So if something were to ever happen to you, you have someone that you know and trust that can step in and help make decisions for you during the time that you can't make them for yourself. I think that's an imperative first step for everyone to take. And once you've done that, you'll see that you are a little bit, I think, more able and open to moving on to some of the other concepts.
That is such an awesome. And you know, the thing about it is that I think that brings to home to everybody, regardless of what stage you're at in life, these are some things you need. I love the title of the book, Leslie. The book is called I Want You to Know. It's by Leslie Cottrell Simmons. Leslie, thanks so much for spending some time here with us today.
Steve, thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute joy.
If you've listened to the show for a while, by now you probably know that I love practical and useful guides that allow us to be able to move with grace and ease through the things in our life that can sometimes be the most difficult, sometimes seemingly unbearable kind of situations. And I love how gracefully, how wonderfully, and how easy Leslie makes the whole concept of learning to respond to situations that you know are going to happen, but so often we've been trained to hide from. And I love that, Leslie. Just thank you so much again, because I really appreciate how well that drives home the fact that you are in control and you do have the ability to create a response in your life that is impactful and empowering. You could be 20 years old, and yes, you need to have the document Leslie was talking about so that if something happens to you, because it happens to 20-year-olds just like it does to 80-year-olds, there's a plan in place, and it's a great guide to really be able to help us deal with difficult discussions. I really hope that you caught the thread in there of really learning the powerful way to be prepared to respond to the most difficult of situations in your life. We'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Imagine the feeling of being seen as the go-to expert in your field and having that at no extra cost for marketing. Plus, having more time for your family, friends, vacations, and hobbies. You don't have to imagine anymore. Hi, I'm Kristen Baker, Sales, Money, and Success Coach, and I want to share my proven formula that I use to close over $100 million in sales. Go to KristenBakerCoach.com, that's K-R-I-S-T-E-N, BakerCoach.com, and access my free checklist called Turn 100 Leads into $20,000. Find out in less than 5 minutes if you've been sitting on a gold mine of ideal clients. Stop wasting time and money on sales and marketing methods that don't work. Start by going to KristenBakerCoach.com. Download my checklist and let's get started today.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to WeHelpYouThrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. So what have we learned so far today? First, we learned that you need to discover the things in your life, whether they be from your childhood or just patterns that you've made in your life, where you react, that you can learn how to respond, and you can go from broken to somebody who is impactful and powerful and really filling the void, the space that only you can fill in the world, because you are meant to fill that space. And then secondarily, we talked about planning. How do you have a plan for those things that are going to happen in life? That typical reaction is to just avoid them and hope they go away. They're not going to go away. So again, if we create a response rather than having to have to react to it when it happens, the best time to decide how you're going to act in a situation is when you have calm time to reflect on it, not in the heat of something difficult, something tough, something emotional, those kind of things. Now we want to talk about the ability to have the actual skills that it takes to live a life of integrity. And there are so many things that you can do to become the passionate, powerful, empowered individual that you are. And we have a lot of our books that we have by our authors on bestsellersguild.com that have done that. But I'm really excited to bring this one to you because I really think you're going to find some secrets that have been around for a really long time, but can give you the ability to really tap into an inner peace that will help you be able to really live the life that you want to live. We want to talk about something that is often missed in modern society, and that's truly inner deep courage. Courage to do and stand for the right thing and really be a person that is worth something in society. And I really appreciate this book, our best-selling author, written by Lori Tsagawa Whaley. Her book is called The Courage of a Samurai, and it is an amazing story. It's very deep, but also very easy to read at the same time, and it's really going to take you on a fun journey to help you discover some things that you can bring out from inside of yourself and be a better person in the world. So, Lori, really, I appreciate so much you being on the show with us here today.
Well, thank you, Steve. I look forward to being on this.
Yeah.
On this. Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit. I know that you went through a really major trauma in your life that kind of led you to writing the book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. I was rear-ended twice, once in 2005 and the other in 2007. And as a baby boomer, things don't heal as quickly as they did as when you're younger. And so the second one left me with traumatic brain injury as well as chronic pain. And because of that, that accident, I went through over 1,000 appointments in order to get better. I was reading at seventh grade level, and I'm a college graduate, so that was below what I should be reading. And everyday life was a struggle for me. So I went through this whole protocol of doctor's appointments, therapists, physical therapy, speech pathology, vision therapy in order to get better, because I was determined not to be that person injured and unable to do anything. So that's what started the journey. And so that was my goal, was if I could write this book, which I finished, then I will be able to overcome traumatic brain injury. And I'm not going to let this stop me and hold me back, because I have a lot of life left to live. Mm.
So there are so many great parts of The Courage of a Samurai. But what is kind of the key cornerstone of what you're trying to help people learn while they're reading the book?
Well, the seven principles are very important, and I want to back up a bit. Another thing that started me on this journey was a man named Chuni Sugihara, who's also known as the Japanese Schindler. He wrote visas against the government of Japan and Lithuania in order to save the lives of Jewish refugees from Poland and Lithuania. And so he wrote about 2,000 visas, which meant about 6,000 lives, and today there's over 80 to 90,000 Sugihara survivors. And so Courage, his life really inspired me to start the writing, and I started doing the research on the Code of Bushido because I actually am of samurai descent. I found that out through my parents. So the seven principles are courage, integrity, benevolence, respect, honesty, honor, and loyalty. And then because my mother was such an integral part of my life and always encouraged me to do my best, she never let me give up. She never wanted to have idle hands. If I was watching television, she'd give me some sewing or a straightening project to straighten out a drawer just so that I would learn, never give up, always do your best. And so I wrote about those seven principles, but at the end, I really believe that Gambaru, which is try your hardest, do your best, never give up, and go for broke, will help a person sustain, go through anything in life using those seven principles. But you also have to never give up and also try your hardest, do your best. Mm.
That's really good encouragement for all of us because it's so easy to give up, you know, and I've heard said so many times, what if you quit that last step before you got to that place that you were headed?
Exactly. Like Thomas Edison tried thousands of light bulb experiments, but it was the 10,000th one that made the light bulb. And there's also a Japanese proverb. It says, fall seven times and stand up eight. So no matter how hard you try, you think you've come to the end of your ropes, well, you haven't, because as long as you're breathing, there is a chance to always overcome your situation.
So if you were, stuck in a line at the bank or something like that, and the discussion of your book came up, and you wanted to give a person one thing that was a note of encouragement out of your book, what would be the one thing that comes to mind today that you would say to them?
I would say about Gambaru, Gambate, never give up. My mother used to say, there's always a way. If you think you found every single way, there's always a way. Never give up. Always try your hardest. And even if it seems like you're just hanging on by the thread, there's that thread that'll keep you going. And also that comes with the person's, all your inner core, you know, what are you made of? And so if I ask a person about their principles in life that they live by, if they don't have any, I would encourage them to read the book and pick it up either through me or through Amazon, because I've been told it's a very good read, and I've had people as young as high school students read it and people in their 90s read it, and everybody said there's something in there for them, and they've read it more than one time. Some people are on their third time of reading it.
Well, I can tell you, it is a great book. You know, like I said before, it's very easy to read, but there's some really deep principles. And the thing I appreciate the most about it is the fact that kind of underlying, you know, kind of woven through it is a whole bunch of age-old concepts that in a lot of respects kind of don't exist anymore. You know, they're supposed to, and we all kind of believe them, but a lot of people don't live that way. And I really appreciated how very matter-of-factly you presented a lot of those different kinds of things throughout the seven steps in the book.
Yes, and for each one, I also wanted to point out that I was an art major growing up through college, and I wanted to make the book beautiful to read. So there's kanji in there for every single principle of the Bushido. But for instance, like honesty, Makoto, after the tsunami and earthquake of 2011, there was no looting, no pilfering. People literally cooperated, they helped each other. Over $70 million was returned back to the banks or the police station within the first few months. And that just shows how deep that Code of Bushido is, that the samurai were willing to live and die by, that was still in effect today. Even though they may not teach it, it's handed down to the children, to future generations. And that's also the principle that my grandparents, who would be considered Issei first generation, brought with them to America, and then they taught that to their children, the Nisei, like my parents. And they're the generation that, in spite of being behind barbed wires, they went out and fought for the American Army, U.S. Army, and they did valiantly, over 18,000 medals. Yeah, so the honesty and the honor, they're just so deeply ingrained. And it was ingrained in me without a lot of formal instruction. It was more taught by doing. My parents worked very hard. They were honest, and they taught me a great deal. And I really owe them a lot because of them, I am who I am.
So is it safe to say then that ultimately this book is just really a way for you to share all of the things that your parents from their parents have passed down to you as a person?
Yes, plus a lot of research. I did a lot of research for this book because I wanted it to be a well-researched book. It is not about the history of so much of the samurai, but more by the principles that made them who they were. Mm-hmm. And through the lives of the people that I chose, for instance, integrity, I chose Senator Daniel Inouye. Many people know of him as one of the longest-standing senators in U.S. history. But before that, he was a leader and was wounded in battle where his arm was bleeding so profusely, he passed out from a loss of blood, and he refused to go get help until he just passed out. And then when people came to see him, he says, "Oh, nobody called off the war. Go out there and fight." And yet when he came back to the States, he was not allowed in barbershops and he was discriminated. So he just, instead of being a doctor as he had planned, he became a senator serving mankind in a different way, always fighting prejudice and helping people that have been wrongly mistreated.
So many great stories like that.
Yes.
In the book. You know, I really encourage everybody. You really do need to get The Courage of a Samurai. Lori Tsagawa Whaley is the author of that. And it's such an amazing book. It's available in print. It's also available audio form from Amazon. You can get it either MP3 or you can actually get a CD. And coming out here, if you're listening live, this next week, it'll actually be available for the first time in digital as well. Lori's book is so amazing, and I just really encourage you to pick it up. Lori, there are seven things, we don't have time to expound on each one of them, but if you had a minute to share one thing that you could leave with a person, what would be that one thing that a person could do right now from what you teach in the book?
Is to dig deep within to find out who you're made of and to use those principles of strength. And I personally believe that the code of Bushido is a very strong code of ethics that what a person could adhere to: the courage, integrity, benevolence, respect, honesty, honor, and loyalty. And they all work hand in hand, but also that Gambaru, stand up, fall seven times and stand up eight, never give up. Because I believe there's always a way for you to find a way to accomplish that goal that's set before you. Because if it's put in your heart or a goal or a vision, probably it's because your creator, to me it's God, has put that in your heart. And so if he's put that in your heart, there are ways to accomplish that goal. And if you find that you're in a situation where it's insurmountable, you always look to people that have gone before you and are going through similar situations, and just know that always look at the bright things, the good things in your life. Look for things you can be happy and thankful for, because all of us are very truly blessed people, whether we know it or not.
Lori Tsagawa Whaley, the book is called The Courage of a Samurai. Get it now today on Amazon.com. Lori, thanks so much for spending some time with us today.
Oh, thank you, Steve. My pleasure.
It all comes back in the end to the thing we were talking about at the beginning. Control what you can and don't worry about what you can't control. In life, what we can control is how we respond, and that we choose to respond rather than to react. There are great things within us. There is an amazing person that we're meant to be, that we're here to be, but we have to choose to be the person who takes that moment, takes that 10 seconds, whatever it is for you, to be able to really think through how can we react, how can we respond, which of those do we choose See, that's the thing. We can choose to react. We can choose to respond. We're the ones that have that choice in our own lives. And I really encourage you to begin to think through, how can I respond in situations? If we think through our response to the difficult times in life before we get to them, then we can live in a real place of grace and dignity and be the shining, bright, amazing person that we were meant to be. I want to let you know, I mean, you are so incredible. I appreciate you listening, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to pour into you just how great you are. That's why I'm so encouraging you to learn this skill. And like I said before, you know, don't get me wrong, we all react. I'm not perfect. I'm not presenting this to you as somebody who every single time a situation comes up, I always respond properly. No, there are times when I blow my top, when I lose my cool, when I react immediately without thought. But as we learn to spend more time responding and less time reacting, we give room in the world and in our lives to be the best version of ourselves. And that's what I really want for you guys. I really want it because I want you to share your powerful, your impactful truth with the world. Kathy and I love helping our bestsellers share their truths. This was 3 more bestsellers today, and you could be the next one. You can join us at bestsellersguild.com. It is a free group. It's designed 100% fully and totally with only one purpose, and that's to help share your message with the world. Because I know, I promise you, there is somebody right now who is on Google searching for the answer for that thing that you do so easily that you may not even be aware just how amazing you are at it. And you really, really do need to share where you are, what you've come through, and where you are at this moment with the world. You're always going to go further, do more, know more. But where you are right now, somebody is not there yet, and they need what you've learned so far. Join us at bestsellersguild.com. We would love to help you share your amazing message, your story, your gifts, your talent with the world. Thank you so much for spending the time here with us today. I want to remind you, like I do every single week, that you are uniquely brilliant. There's no one else in this world like you. You were created for a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not trash. You were created for a purpose. You, specifically you, absolutely you, being the person you were created to be, the world needs you. Kathy and I are here to help you every day, live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Until next time, I hope that you really will practice on your responses rather than reactions. And more than anything, I want you to have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.